Praise the Lord. You know, Mike has been sitting on the things of patience, and you noticed I have talking about it. And we're going to continue to look in some of these areas because God's really been dealing with me, and that is one of the things that I believe really has affected the body of Christ a lot is and why the body of Christ as a whole has ended up in the mess that they're in is sort of like the quick fix Christianity. And there is, it's not out there. It doesn't there. You know, it takes time to grow up. You know, you get a child and, you know, they want to grow up. They want to do everything the adults are doing. They're trying when they're little. Then they get in their teens. They think they can when they ain't got a clue. And, you know, we all been there, you know, and it takes time to develop and grow. And spirituality is the same way. Christianity, you ain't going to grow up overnight. You're not going to develop overnight. And it requires patience, and it requires doing things and continuously doing certain things. You know, there's certain things that you got to just keep doing, and you're going to have to do till Jesus comes if you're going to stay in spiritual development. You're just going to have to keep doing. And places we have to walk. We're going to talk about this week. I titled this A Life Driven by Reward. And we're going to talk about one of my most favorite personalities. In fact, I could say probably my most favorite personality is Jacob. I like Jacob. And Jacob is one of the most mistaught, misunderstood subjects in the Bible. And I'm just sad to say this. A lot of preachers don't preach scripturally concerning Jacob. And we want to look at what the Bible really says and not man's ideas of what the Bible says. Because Jacob, to me, you know, if anybody, I want to be like him, I want to be like Jacob. Jacob was after something. Jacob wanted something. You know, most people are going through life, they would say like things, but they're not going to go after them. And it's really driven. Most people never get driven towards something. And you have to learn to do that. There's one thing that when I got born again and I came to Christ, I got driven about following after Christ. I just really got driven about it. But I let it in me, and I believe every person has that in them, but people don't develop it, and they don't, you know, they don't feed that thing because people around them, and it's one of the problems that I faced, is when I got around other Christians who were, you know, good people, nice, but they weren't really driven at all. They would criticize you. Well, you know, you're into the Bible too much, or you're doing too much of this, or I've had people tell you, you know, you spend too much time in the Word. I mean, I had people tell me that who were supposed to be called Word people, you spend too much time. You spend too much time doing this and too much time. And what they were doing was dealing with me about the time that I was spending with God because, you know, they used to tell me this. They used to say, well, you know, you need to spend more time with your family. And I had the Lord tell me this one time as I was seeking the Lord in prayer. I had the Lord speak to me one time and say this to me. He said, you need to spend more time with me. You don't know how to act around your family. And he was right. I found this. In the presence of God, I learned how to act. I learned how to end up with a changed life. Most people don't spend enough time with God to get their life changed. Yet they want to change life. I don't know how you do it other than getting into the presence of God. It's not going to happen. It don't just happen. You can turn around and learn how to act nicely around people, but inside you can have hatred, you can have all kinds of things, and you can put on good acts. And I'm talking about an actual changed life. I don't know how to change except God working in me. I don't know how to do that. If somebody can do it, well, then you're bigger than God is, and you're a lot bigger than me, I'll tell you. Because God changes people's lives. And you spend time with Him, it'll affect you. You know, it's just like, you know, the word Scripture tells us, you know, bad company corrupts good morals. Well, I think God would be good company. And if a person with bad company could affect you to do bad, well, then hanging out with God would probably really change your life. And see, most people don't. They, you know, I got around hanging around God. I would go, and when I first started off as a Christian, I'd go and lock myself in the bedroom, and I would take my Bible in there, and I would pray, and I would read the Bible. Sometimes I'd have a tape player along and maybe listen to a certain teaching, and I would just go in there and spend time, and I'd spend time and talk with God. As a young believer, I was fortunate enough to have a number of really supernatural experiences in my bedroom. Supernatural experiences, God showing up, God revealing Himself. But I was after God. You know, it's not going to happen just because you'd like things to happen. And what I want to do is look at Jacob, because of Jacob, we're going to look at this one. Jacob was a man who was after something. And you know, it's, we need to understand is God's desire, how God looked at Jacob and how man looks at Jacob. And we want to look at how God looks at Jacob. One of the things I want to say, because Jacob was a man who was driven by reward. There's reward that God had. Now, I'm not talking about the world's idea and today what people call reward. Jacob, we're Christians. We should have a different idea. We shouldn't have think like the world does when we talk about reward. You know, the world today, they'll just go after something that'll please the flesh. We're going to talk about that. That's what Esau was. He was a man. He was after a reward. He was after one too. But Jacob wanted a reward from God. There's things that God had that he wanted. And he was going to go after, he was going to let anything stand in his way to get them, to get what God had. See, you can do it. Religion will do this all the time. People that are religious will always stand in the way of other people going after God. They'll always block the way. If somebody goes after and gets something, no, and if you get more than they want. I'll never forget, I was just a young Christian. And the Lord had sent me to a church, and I was just really a young Christian. The Lord sent me, told me to go to this church. He said, I want you to go to this church and I want you to help this pastor. He was just starting a new church. And he said, I want you to go there and help him. I said, Lord, I need help. What am I going there to help him for? I said, I want to learn. I want to, you know, stuff. He said, there's things that you can show them. And I thought, dear Lord, I need to learn. I need to. But when I got there, I started to see that, you know, they had a good direction that they were going in, but they didn't know much. But they had a good direction that they were heading in, and that was good because they were after God. They wanted God, and they were after them. But I'll never forget, there was a few that they had in the midst, and they had one guy who was you'd call him a deacon in the church. And, you know, I think he was appointed as deacon because, you know, he had been around for a long time, but he was a religious guy. And he was always trying to stand in the way of other people getting to God. He was always trying to block them. And I'll never forget a young man, at that time, he's young. He's not young today because I'm not young anymore either. So, but he came to Christ, and he was on fire. He was driven after God. He wanted God. And I'll never forget standing there one time, and this deacon come up to him, and I was standing there, and he said, "Oh, don't worry." He said, "You'll cool down after a while." And I just turned around and looked at him. And I said, "Yeah, and he'll get cold like you are." It angered me because he was throwing water. It's like throwing water on a fire. You know, you needed the fire. And here he comes along and a guy's after God. And he said, "You'll cool down. I want you to know this. I haven't cooled down since I got born again. Hallelujah, the fire is still going." But you know, you got to feed the fire. It don't just feed itself. You start a fire, if you don't keep putting fuel on it, it goes out. And you put fuel on it. This guy, what it was, he got around, got cold. He thought he arrived. That was one thing, as I have learned. You can find this out and judge this concerning your own spiritual development. If you get to the place where you start to think you've arrived, you know enough, I'll guarantee you, you have backslid. There's one thing that I have found out in learning. The more I learn, the more I realize I need to know. I'll tell you, we're dealing with a God that knows everything. I ain't even got close to that mark. I ain't even in sight of seeing that. And you need to know. And the more you learn, the wisdom of God comes to you, the more you realize how much more wisdom you need from God. There's so much that He can develop us in. And we need to walk in that. I want to read you a scripture, something that Jesus said from Matthew, the 11th chapter. The Lord told me to use this scripture as we're going in, because I'm just going to do some introduction things today about this. We're going to look at some things of Scripture here. But the Lord told me to use this Scripture. And in Matthew, the 11th chapter and verse 12, and I'm going to be reading from it's the New King James. But it says this, it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." And you know, that can seem a little unclear to people of what it's saying. But Some people have looked maybe those things in a negative way, and it isn't looking at never. It's not talking about somebody doing something to the kingdom of God to harm it. In fact, the Bible in basic English says it this way, and from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven is forcing its way in, and men of force take it. Now, I want to read you from the Amplified, because the Amplified really... opens up the thing in verse. It says, the Amplified says, and from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and the violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. That's Jacob. Jacob saw something and he wanted it. And I want to say to this, as we begin to go into this study, we're going to talk about Jacob. I want you to understand about Jacob. And about Jacob is a grandson of Abraham. The grandson of Abraham. Jacob and Esau, well, Isaac their father, has been raised. Jacob and Esau both knew their grandfather. They both spent time with their grandfather. They knew him. We need to understand this. Abraham is a man who has come into a land that God, he has followed God. God has talked to him and established a covenant with this man. And this man has followed God. And understand, Isaac was raised under this, and so were Jacob and Esau. They knew about the covenant. God had made a covenant. And this covenant, we need to understand, God made a covenant with this man. These people were raised under a thing with a special covenant that God had not made to anybody else before this time. And this covenant was the blessing of the nations to the future. And when we read this story, we need to understand some things as we look at this thing, because they were born in both Esau and Jacob were born understanding this special covenant that was passed on down to their father. And now they know this. They both know this, that this special covenant is going to be passed on. It's not going to be passed on to both of them. It's going to pass on to one of them, and the one it passes on to is going to bring the blessing down the road to the future, their future generations down to the nations. All the teaching I've ever heard people do on Jacob, they never even talk about this stuff. They always talk about, well, Jacob, he was a deceiver. You know, the name of Jacob becoming a deceiver was done by men and not by God. The Bible never says it. And that word, they use a word they call Jacob, and his name means supplanter. That's a lie. That wasn't established till the 14th century. Man did that. God didn't. And preachers preach it. My words, if they'd just look up a little bit of history, they'd find out. But see, men started that up because why? Men came along and they preached as if Jacob was a bad guy. Man, let me say this. We want to read from Scripture. The Bible says God loved Jacob and he hated Esau. Whose side are you on? Most preachers are on the devil's side when it comes to Jacob. They don't like Jacob. They like poor old Esau. It ain't poor old Esau. Esau is an evil man. Jacob is a guy after God. I'm going after Jacob. If you want to learn about, follow Jacob and it'll get you somewhere. Hallelujah. Follow somebody who's driven by God's covenant rather than what man's flesh wants. Today there's so much opportunity to the flesh. And much of Christianity is following the opportunity to the flesh rather than the opportunities to get after God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to stay after God. I'm going to stay after Him. This thing's coming to a close down here. This thing ain't going to run forever. Hallelujah. And the people who have chased the flesh, that's all they're going to have left. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're coming into the fullness of our redemption. Glory to God. We're coming into the place we're going to get the new body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We won't be taunted by the flesh no more. So while I'm here, I don't want to feed my flesh because my flesh has caused me enough trouble. Hallelujah. Let's go after the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's what Jacob was after something greater. He wanted something of the future. I tell you, I want something of the future. Thank God for all the good of the past, but the good of the past will not sustain me tomorrow. Hallelujah. Praise God. I need the God of tomorrow. I need to be able to walk out into the future by faith. Hallelujah. You know, today, you know, the church service started this morning. You know, we started at 9:30. Well, that part's already over. Nothing we can do about that. But I'll tell you what we do from here on out, that's our future. And that's the place you walk by faith. You can't walk in faith of the past, but we can sure walk in faith of the future. Hallelujah. And we can change the future if we hook up with the covenant of God. If we walk in the covenant of God, our future can be set in God's glory rather than what man's doing in the flesh. Hallelujah. Praise God. People in the flesh are doing all kinds of stuff. But I'll tell you, I want to be one of the guys. I want to be like Jacob. I want to have an ardent zeal. And I am going to put an intense exertion into it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Going after the things of God. Glory to God. I done preached me happy. Glory to God. I tell you, I get talking, looking about Jacob over here, and I think, man, I want what he had. I want to have that burning within me. Jacob had a zeal. He had a burning zeal for God, and that zeal is what drove him. Esau is fleshly, and he's driven by his zeal for the things of the flesh. And hallelujah. So we can decide which one we want to be. I want us to go over to Genesis, to the 25th chapter. And we're going to look at some things here in the beginning, but we're going to go on. We're going to do probably a number of weeks of teaching on to this area. I was really glad when the Lord inspired me to go over here and teach on Jacob. I've taught it before, but I'll tell you what. There's certain people in the Scriptures, and even I have some books of different people who followed God, and I go over and I read things about them, and it puts fire in me. I want to go after God. I want to go after God. And there's things, you got to feed that fire, you know. I find people that burn good, and you follow after what burns good. If you follow after the people that didn't burn good, don't expect to burn well. You know, follow after them. Now in Genesis, the 25th chapter, I'm going to start at verse 21. It says, "Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, 'If all is well, why am I this way?' So she went to inquire of the Lord." Now, you know, I found this interesting. And this was years ago. I don't know why. There's sometimes when I'm reading and studying the Word, the Spirit of the Lord will just impress me on the sign. Go look up what a certain word means. You know, because sometimes we look and we think we know what something means. I've had sometimes the Lord told me, just go to a dictionary. Many times in our culture today, we use words. We've actually changed the definitions by the way we use them. And the Lord told me, go up and look at that word really means. And I'll go look it up and think, my words, that's different than what I thought. But this here one, the Lord told me to go over and look up the word struggle. Because it said here that the children says it struggled within them. You know, that's the only time that word's translated as struggled. That word every place else is translated oppresses, to oppress. See, there was an oppression going on inside of her. I mean, there's a battle inside of her. There's a war going on. It ain't just all natural. This isn't natural. You know, it wasn't God keeping Rebekah from having a child. I mean, why would God try to stop the heirs? Why would God be doing that? He'd be defeating his own purpose. You think the devil liked it when he knew there was going to be an heir to the promise? We were singing about the promise this morning, you know? Hallelujah. The devil wouldn't have been happy. The devil is trying, and he did. The devil brought division in. And you know what? Is number one, if Isaac would have had more sense, there was stuff that wouldn't have went on that went on. It says, verse 23, "And the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'" Now let me say this. We need to know this, that if both of these were going to, both of these young men were going to follow the covenant of God, And one of them would, you know, have the come, the other one would still walk in the light of what he had. There wouldn't have been two nations. Wouldn't have been two nations. They'd have both been following God. But see, God's telling her the future. See, one of the jobs you need to understand, I've talked about it many times, but Christianity has really not walked in the light of it. The Holy Spirit is in you, and one of the jobs that he's in you for is to show you things to come. And the purpose he does that is because faith is always walking toward the future. The Holy Spirit shows you things to come. When she prayed and asked the Lord about it, the Lord immediately showed her the future of things. Wow, you ain't going to change the past. The past is gone. You're going to have to change the future of things. And the Holy Spirit's in us to reveal future. Why? You can't prepare for a future you don't know is there. You can't prepare for it. You can't prepare for what you don't know is there. You need to know what's ahead. You need to be able to see ahead. You need to be able to look ahead. Now, Holy Ghost is in there. You know, the word provision in itself is made of two words, pro and vision. It means to see ahead. You can't make provision for your future without seeing what's in your future. The Holy Ghost, see, the church is supposed to be the brightest bunch in the world today in this earth. The church is supposed to be, if anybody knows what the future has to hold, it's supposed to be the church. The church has been ignorant because they have thought, well, God don't want us to know nothing. He put the Holy Ghost into us so we could know the future, so we could be prepared and be ready. You know, preachers sitting around say, well, we just don't know when Jesus will ever come back. He could come back today or 100 years from now. That's absolutely absurd. The Holy Ghost is in us. You think God and the Holy Ghost don't know what's going on? Do you think God and the Holy Ghost is not revealing things to people? Do you think, you know, Jesus is going to show up? See, they use a scripture that talks about the tribulation. Say, you don't know the day or time. Well, if you're going to be in the tribulation, if you're going to be waiting for that one. Because that's a statement made concerning Israel in the tribulation. It has nothing to do with the church. The Holy Spirit is going to be revealing things to you and me. So why? God wants you prepared, and he don't want Jesus sneaking up on you. Apostle Paul said that that Jesus isn't coming to the church like a thief in the night. He said it. It's not. Why? Because God has us in a time of preparation. We're leaving this earth. We're leaving this earth. We're going to be going. Hallelujah. We need to be prepared. And how do you prepare people when you don't know? I want to know how you do that. How on earth are you going to do that? See, the church needs to get over and get out of its religion and out of its religious thinking and come over back to the Bible again and start reading it. Back to the Bible, start to read what the Bible says. Because see, God has a plan for the future. And just like with here, God told her the future. She knows how things will turn out and what's going to happen. She knows the plan of God. It's a shame her husband didn't pray and ask. I believe Isaac in his old age got to the point where, well, I did my time and I've arrived. And I believe he quit seeking God. You know, we're not going to throw rocks at him. You know, all of us have come to a point at times where we thought we arrived at something. After a while, found out we weren't so bright on this. Well, yes, God to forgive you. He's good. He will do it. Hallelujah. Verse 24 of Genesis 25 says, and when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over, so they called him Esau. Afterwards, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore him. It says, so the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a wild man dwelling in tents. Isn't that a nice one known? I'm a wild man. Woo! A covenant guy. What are you? I'm a wild man. Yeah, I'll tell you what. He's a wild man. And we're going to find out that's the way he lived. Said in East, it was, and Jacob says, but was a mild man dwelling in tents. And he said, and Isaac loved Esau because he ate his game. That says a lot about Isaac. Isaac loved because of fleshly things. His love was based upon the flesh. He loved because of what he got to eat. New Testament talks about the person in their belly. You know, you play to the flesh and it's going to cost you. He loved him because of his gain. Now, we're going to find out that he was, you know, lived like hell. But boy, he had some good food. So that's the reason. It says, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So, the word Jacob, when I got, like I said, I got looking up the word Jacob. The word Jacob just means the catcher of a heel. That's what he did. He grabbed his heel. That's all it means. They named him Jacob. And as I said, it wasn't the 14th century that they went over and used a Latin word and they got the word, so they used supplanter. But that wasn't what the Bible, when you look up the word, that word in the new in the Bible, in Hebrew, actually that word is never used as supplanter. It's not used that way. It's used in the name Jacob. And that is not, and it's not supplanter. Man did that. Man came along and they said, well, you know, that he was a deceiver. We're going to find out if he was a deceiver. It's quite interesting because God's going to go with the deceiver. Isn't that interesting? God likes the deceiver. Oh, we'd have to think a little bit about God, this God we serve, if that's so. But see, God, we're going to find that God didn't consider him that. Men say things, but that doesn't mean that God said it. You know, we found out here that that Isaac loved Esau. But I want you to read, I want to read to you because we have in the, it's also in Romans, is written about this in Romans, the 9th chapter. And this is taken from the scriptures also in the Old Testament, which we'll look at. But in Romans, the 9th chapter, in verse 10, it says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac. For the children not yet born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Now I want you to understand something. I'm going to stop there, but I want you to understand something. You need to understand about this as God. And if you don't have, you know, you may have heard this said, but if you don't have a revelation of it and understand it, you'll misread a lot of scripture. God is all-knowing. The Bible says that God knows the future. It says, you know, more than knows about the past. In other words, God, the future is never hidden from God. You need to understand this. God makes decisions based upon things that he knows is going to happen down the road. See, people have always put it this way. Well, God just chooses whom he chooses. He looks out here and just throws it out there. You know, God don't, he chooses people and it don't matter. See, it says they hadn't done anything up to this point. Well, then why did God pick whom he picked? Because listen what this scripture says. It says, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. Now, people are going to have to answer some scripture and things that are taught today because the Bible says this, God loves everybody. Well, I can tell you that's not true. Well, somebody's going to have to answer it. I mean, hold it. God loves everybody. Does my Bible just have a bad spot in it there that... See, we make statements, and the statements just get thrown out there. It's because God's love concerning these two individuals had about what he knew about the future. What he knew about the future of the two. God don't make choices like we have. God sees everything from beginning to end. He knows outcome. That's why he put the Holy Ghost in us, so we could know some outcome. We wouldn't make so many bad decisions if we listened on the inside. We would make better decisions in life if we listen to the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Didn't say as many as went to church. Thank God, go to church. But it don't say that. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See, it's one thing to be born as a son, it's another thing to live as a son. If we're going to live out the sonship of God, there's things you need to understand of the future. God made decisions based on the future. The mother got a revelation of the future. The father never asked. The father turns around and he's following in opposition to God. Well, he is. He picks the guy that God hates. That's whom he picked. See, you get in the flesh, you can be a very nice person, but you get in the flesh, you'll make the wrong pick. See, we know from our own nation and things that are going on with the vote and all that kind of stuff, and many people, you know, the government we have today is because of a lot of so-called, quote, Christians. Make the wrong pick. Do it all the time. They live by the flesh. They walk by the flesh. They wouldn't know what's the right thing to do at all. They're following the flesh. And we need to understand the difference. It says that God hated Esau. You know, it's amazing when they talk on the subject of love how that's never brought up. I've learned this about the church world. We pick out the verses we like. We like certain verses and they say it the way we like it. And then something that speaks contrary, we won't look at it. I'll tell you this, you will never know the character of God till you look at them all. God ain't this one-sided, lopsided thing. But we've made him there. That's why the church is in such a mess. We have preached love to the standpoint that there's no correction. And so people sit out of here, live like hell, think they're all right. But they've been taken there by the church because the church preached it to them. The churches preach, well, God can fix anything. You can get into messes and I can show you in Scripture where it got to the point God wouldn't fix it. We need to understand these things. You can go too far. Esau went too far. We're going to find out as we go on to read these. Esau went so far, God would not change it. See, there's one thing. You know, people see this as hard things. I want to hear these things because I want a stop sign in my life. I want a stop sign put there where I come to a place and say, I don't want to cross this line. I don't want to be Esau. I don't want to go to the place where God can't fix it. I need to stop. See, there's no stop signs. That's one thing is the Lord spoke to me years ago and said to me, I put you here to be a flagman in the earth. Well, I found out this a long time ago. Nobody likes the flagman. You go down the road in your car, and there's a guy out there, I might have to stop or slow down, and I want to get over there. I'm such a patient person. And I don't like the flagman. People don't like the flagman. You stand there today, the bridge is out, and you stand there, people just drive right by you. Spiritually, people just drive right by you. They don't care. People just go on down their road. God told me, you're a flagman. So we're trying to flag people down. I never realized that America was going to end up as messy as it is today. I'll tell you what, we need about 20 more million flagmen in America spiritually. We need these wishy-washy little churches that won't stand up and say nothing. We need people that will stand up and say, hey, hold it, get the flag out. Man, this nation is going over the cliff. And I tell you what, it'll go to the point where it won't be able to be stopped. But I'll tell you what, as long as I'm here, I know this, I'm still supposed to keep flagging. Hallelujah. We keep flagging. So we want to continue on doing what the word says and continue to do it. Why? I realize you don't end up to be a real popular person by doing those things. But you know, there's one thing of it is I would rather stand before Jesus and have told the truth than have had said, oh, they all really liked me. They liked me down there. They thought I was wonderful. You know? Hallelujah. There is certain things about being a flagman for God that is better. You don't have to worry about, you know, 18-wheelers running you down and stuff, but you just get ignored and called names. I mean, if that's the worst, hey, okay, we're good. Hallelujah. Let's back up to Genesis again. In Genesis in the 25th chapter again. And I'm going to talk about this scripture here because this is part of what we want to lay foundationally when we begin to look at these. In verse 29, it says, "Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom." And you'll notice one thing, there is no Edom today. In other words, I want you to know, very interesting concerning Esau, there is not one descendant of Esau in the earth today. There was two nations, but the nation was removed completely. And it was removed completely because how it mistreated Israel, Jacob. It's in the Bible. As we go on, we'll study. You see in the Bible what happened. See, God don't put up with some things. There's not any descendants. There's two nations that came out of it. One nation don't exist anymore. It says, "But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.' And Esau said, 'Look, I'm about to die. You know, I can't go without it. I'm going to die.'" You know, we don't know. Maybe this is an evening you come in. One day without eating ain't going to kill you. I don't care what any doctor tells you. I had a person one time, we were talking about fasting, and they said, "Well, I can't fast. If I go without food, I just can't take it. Oh, mind this and that and that stuff." I said, "Man, you need to get your flesh under control. You can't skip a meal. Something's wrong with you. You're driven by something, and it ain't good." My words. That's part of that patient things. People who have never developed in any kind of faith, you can know this. If you don't have much patience, you ain't got much faith. I found out personally. You can find out how far your faith will go to your patience is how far your faith will go. That's how far it'll reach. It only can go as far as your patience. That's all it can go. If Abraham would have quit after a year, he'd have never had a son. If his faith would have worked for a year and that's it, we know this, his work for 25. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this guy is so hungry, you know. So Jacob said, "He swear to me this day." So he swore to him and sold him his birthright to Jacob. And he said, "And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau displeased." Now look at this. He displeased his birthright. See, this thing isn't about Jacob. It's about Esau. And I want to talk to you about birthright. I'm just going to share that some with you. Birthright. We need to understand when we're talking about, and I said in the beginning about this covenant that's carried. This covenant is based on birthright. This covenant is 100% based on the birthright. We're going to find this as we go along in this. This is the thing that Jacob understood. See, Jacob had been paying attention. Jacob knew this. If I can have the birthright, I can have the covenant. It is no different today. Birthright. You are born into the kingdom of God. You aren't into the kingdom of God because you believe that Jesus existed, or you believe that you can believe Jesus is Lord, and you don't. That don't put you into the kingdom. You get born again because you believe something in your heart and you confess it with your mouth. That's what it says. That's what you got to believe that Jesus is Lord. God raised him from the dead. He says, "With the heart man believeth; with the mouth confession's made unto salvation." You're not a child of God because you're born in a family that are Christian. You're not a child of God because of that. That makes nobody a child of God. There's people out here today that they surely do believe Jesus is Lord, but they've never believed on him and confessed him as Lord, and they're not saved. And I always use the story of a guy I worked with years ago. He even said, "Yeah, I believe Jesus is Lord. I believe I need to accept him, but I'm not going to do it. I like the lifestyle that I live." Well, if he dropped dead, he ain't going to end up in heaven, and he believes Jesus. Well, if you believe, you're saved. I wish that people go back and read the Bible again. He believed, but he's not saved. Believing something don't say it's what you do after you believe it. You got to do something. And he said, I don't want that lifestyle. I want the lifestyle that I'm living. In the flesh, I enjoy it. That's where I want to live. And that's where he wanted to be. Now, I want you to understand, we're dealing here with a covenant. We're going to find out this is the things that are going to start to take place. Because what is going to happen is this. This covenant is only by birthright. Whoever has the birthright gets the covenant. And understand this in Christianity today. Only birthright can have the blessing. One of the great falsities that's taught in the world today, we teach and even tell sinners, just pray God and He'll help you and stuff. He might be gracious and do something. But no sinner has a right to pray and ask God for anything because they're not in the covenant. They're not in the covenant. The covenant is based on birthright. If you're born of God, then therefore the covenant is yours and the blessing is yours. Jesus told His disciples, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He'll give it to you. You can't go and give that to a sinner. The only thing a sinner can do is to enter the birthright, and he does it. That's why we don't preach all this other stuff to sinners. Preach them the gospel to get saved so they can enter the birthright, and now the covenant is theirs. Now they can legally ask God for things, and He'll do it for them. He'll help them. But He's not going to help outsiders. Here's the great falsity of Esau. Esau said, I don't want the birthright. I don't want to be the guy carrying this covenant, be responsible for this stuff. I don't want to do it, but I want its blessing. I'm sorry. The blessing only goes with birthright. It was impossible for God to bless Esau. It was impossible. It could not have been done. If God would have done it, God would have been no different than the devil. I'm sorry, my God ain't like the devil. The blessing cannot go without the birthright, and that goes to the heir of the covenant. The covenant that was established with Abraham and was passed to Isaac and now went to Jacob, it's because God considered this a legal transaction. When his brother said, okay, I'll give it to you, God chucked Esau. Why? He despised his birthright. He didn't care about the birthright. I'm just going to go one day and my dad's going to bless me and I'm getting the blessing. See, I want to do real good down here. Do you know what that man would have done if he'd have got the blessing? I mean, the devil would have been running the show. We'd have probably turned around and had to have another flood again to straighten things out. And the most preachers today, they would have helped. Because they'd have said, poor old Esau. That bad old Jacob guy went out there and took it from him. He didn't Can you imagine giving up birthright for a meal? Would you give up Jesus for a meal? Would you say, yeah, I'm born again, but I don't want Jesus anymore. I want lunch. That's exactly what happened here. That's exactly what a man gave up his birthright to the covenant of God and God's blessing for a meal. I'd rather be dead. That's what this guy did. How can we praise him? How can we say, oh, this guy, you know, he just, his bad brother. His brother wanted something that heaven had. He saw the value. Esau despised it. Esau walked in the flesh and lived in the flesh. And all he wanted, just blessed down here. I got a whole lot of stuff down here. I'm living real good down here. I'm going to have this stuff. I'm going to get what I want. You know, down here, this stuff. Not caring about the future. Not caring about the generation that's going to follow him. Even his own children. He could care less about his offspring. It's one thing is we as Christians, one of the reasons I serve God is for the future of humanity. My offspring need me following God. If you're following Jesus just for you, get out of the game and go do something else. This is about the future of others. We follow Jesus for the future of others. We walk with Jesus for the future of others. Hallelujah. Jacob understood that. Jacob understood the importance of the covenant. Thank God. We talk about personal relationship, but one of the whole problems that we've ended up with the church is at its day today because of all this personal relationship. It's all about me. It's all about me. Oh, everything going okay for me. The next guy, who cares? You know, good luck. We'll pray for you. We follow God for others. The covenant of Abraham was about the future. And he had a covenant of promise. And that's what we have, a covenant of promise. We're in covenant of promise. We're not in problem. He wasn't under law. He was under promise. And the promise was for the future and the nations. And Lord, folks, we're standing in that covenant. So how should we be? If I'm going to have a personal relationship, it's just not so I get by. It's not so I just get blessed. It's so I bless humanity. We're the salt of the earth. Jacob was understood him being the salt of the earth. He understood whoever carried this covenant was establishing a future for humanity and the earth. Abraham didn't go to that land just for himself. He may have started off there, but he understood. He understood to the point he would have sacrificed anything for the covenant. So God could manifest in the earth. That's what we're doing. We want God to manifest in the earth. I've had enough of religion. I've had enough of men and men and their religion. I want God manifested in the earth. We want God to show himself. And there's only one way to do that. And that's walk in line with the covenant. It's the covenant. Your birthright that was given to you. Hallelujah. See, people say, I want to make a change in this earth. Get born again and follow the covenant. You can change something. Hallelujah. That's the purpose of it. That's why Jesus said to Peter, concerning in the earth. He spoke to him and said to him, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You can change things. Heaven will get behind you. You walk in the covenant, and heaven will do things in this earth. And that's where you want to be. You want to be at the place. Heaven will do stuff in this earth. Hallelujah. That's what we're after. We need to understand the importance of birthright. See, that's why when people turn around and read this, Christians should have got appalled when they read where a man gave up his birthright. Instead of our ignorance today and what's taught in salvation and all that kind of stuff, people didn't even know what it means. Have no clue what it meant. It would be no different than a man giving up Jesus today. A Christian saying, I don't want Jesus anymore. Jesus Christ is my birthright. He's my birthright. I ain't giving up Jesus. My future and the future of others is founded in this thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is so important. See, understand the treasure that you have. When you receive Christ, when you got born again, and you receive Christ, you got it by birthright. You were born into a kingdom. The covenant that God established, this is a covenant established for you so you can walk and cooperate with God in the earth. While you're here and I'm here in this earth, you and I can cooperate with God here and walk with God here. Concerning this covenant, John wrote this in 1 John the 5th chapter. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask him anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know we have the petition we requested of him. He didn't say, yeah, you can pray and ask. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says maybe. There ain't no such words ever written in Scripture. But it's preached. That's why people pick Esau. Poor guy. I don't pick Esau. I'm going to tell you, if I know what the covenant says, I can ask anything and know that he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, then I know I have the petition I requested. God's not going to say no to the covenant. He never has. He has never said no to the covenant. That's why he gave you this. That's why he gave you birthright. That's why he gave you this birthright. You have a right through the new birth to this covenant, and you have the right to its usage. This is a phenomenal thing. What God put in our hands, the hands of the church, my words, In some ways, I look at the immaturity of the church, it's almost like handing a baby an atomic bomb or something. What he has handed to us in these words that we have in our covenant in the New Testament, those words are so phenomenal. That Jesus Christ said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. What words? What words? Whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Oh no, that all stopped. Jesus lied. That was only to a certain group. He said to whoever believes in me. That's what he said. Whoever believes in me. I'm just sort of dumb. I'm pretty childish about this stuff. I think Jesus just meant what he said. I don't listen to theologians on the subject. I think Jesus talked pretty straight. Hallelujah. We have a covenant that is so phenomenal, and it's yours by birth. Don't let the devil, don't let some religious person or anything talk you out of your birthright. Don't you allow them to. Jesus belongs to you. Hallelujah. God put the Holy Ghost on you, in you. And the Bible says he's in there. He's our witness inside of us that we're children of God. That's what he's there for. He's to remind you the birthright. You're a child of God. The covenant is yours today. It is your covenant. It belongs to you. It was given to you by heaven so heaven could carry out its plans and purposes. God don't push his way in down here without man. God's looking for people who will respond to the covenant, hallelujah, and carry out his covenant will. And if you ask anything in his name, he will do it for you. Find out what the covenant says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. We should be so excited we're born again. We should be so excited we're children of God. Hallelujah. You belong to heaven. You might not be sitting in heaven right now, but God considers as if you right now are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He thinks you're sitting there. He looks at Jesus, and you know what? He sees you. He don't see you up there and just, God has to put blood over us so he don't have to look at us. You know, he had to cover us. My sin ain't covered. My sin's been removed. I can look God face to face. I can look in his word and see, and he reveals. He put his Holy Ghost in us, made his temples of God, and he's hiding out from us? Come on, folks. Hallelujah. Our God is wanting to reveal himself to people, and he wants to reveal himself to you and me. That's our God. And you got the birthright to know him. Hallelujah. You have the birthright to know his will in the earth, of what he wants to do for you and in you and through you. Hallelujah. See, if you let him work in you, he'll do things through you. And that's what he wants to do. He wants you to be someone out here that can change the future of things. See, if God can't change your future, he can't change the future of others, could he? The biggest thing that always changes other people's futures, if God can change yours, if God can change my future, if he can change the direction I'm going, he can change a future. You're sitting here today listening to me because I let God change my future. Amen. Hallelujah. And you're doing what you're doing because God changed your future. Hallelujah. Let's don't stop it at the new birth. That new birth was to get you in to get the covenant. Hallelujah. To revolutionize just not your future, but the future of others. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want God in more people's lives. First of all, I'd like God to get in a lot of Christians' lives. And I'm not saying mocking or knocking. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of Christians need God. And I want God in their lives because you know why? Man, they'll turn their life around. They'll get so excited. Hallelujah. I don't know about it. I just get excited. And I'll tell you what, because there's nothing. I didn't have a life before Jesus. I didn't have a life. Jesus changed my life. Hallelujah. I want others to step into this glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God, and we can have it. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning. Father, the great gift of Jesus Christ, how much you love the world. Your desire to change humanity, your desire, Lord God, is to step into this earth that God would put on flesh like a man. Oh, to step out of the glories of heaven and do that, Father, it's hard for my mind to comprehend that. How to stepping from that glory into this sure wasn't no glory. And Father God, our wonderful Master Jesus did it. Your Son was obedient and came down here and then took the nature of sin that we all carried upon ourselves and all of our ugly deeds. and paid the price for them so we don't have to. And then you, then on top of it, you made it so simple that through faith in the name of Jesus that we could be saved. And we didn't have to come up with some kind of great work or great feat to earn our salvation. But Lord God, we just got to take what Jesus won for us. And I just want to let you know, Lord, I so appreciate that. Hallelujah. Because I know, Lord, the more I've learned and understand, Lord God, we could not in any way attempt to earn it. There's no way we could have reached that spot. Yet you gave it to us. And Father, if that wasn't enough and enough great thing that you did, then you put the Holy Spirit in us and you made us temples of the living God. My. You are incredible. There's none like you. Lord God, you have greater confidence in us than many times we have in ourselves. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, these this morning, people sitting here, they're your children. They belong to you. They're yours. You paid the price for them. There's no man or no other spirit has paid the price. They're yours, bought completely by you, for you. And I want to thank you, Lord God, they're yours. Lord, as the Apostle Paul wrote and said, and Lord God, I say concerning them that the good work that you started in them, Lord God, you're going to bring it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that today, I pray today, Lord God, there's a rising up of a new fire, a kindling of a new fire. Lord God, there's ones who have some fire, some maybe don't seem to have much, I don't know. But Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord God, that there's a new fire rising up today in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, today that you're quickening them with might by your Holy Spirit in their inner man. That Christ dwells in their heart by faith, that they're rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the height and the length and the depth and the breadth of the love of God, which surpasses knowledge, that they might be filled with all the fullness of you, Father. And we thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord God, you're working mightily in them today. Father God, I want to thank you if they've missed the mark anywhere. Oh, Lord God, all they got to do is confess their sin. And Lord God, you're faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse them from any unrighteousness. Oh, Lord God, you're so wonderful and gracious and kind and good. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that, for Lord, as these days come ahead, the Holy Spirit is going to start to reveal things in their hearts to them. Lord God, things, Lord God, your plans and purposes specifically for them that you, Lord God, the places you want them to walk, the things you want them to do, Lord God. And Father God, I thank you. You're not just going to show it to them, but you will help them carry it out and work it. You will empower them by your great grace to walk and fulfill those things that you show them. And I thank you, Father God, your plan for their future is great and it's glorious and it's mighty. And Father God, I want to thank you that you're going to encourage them by what you reveal to them, hallelujah, of the glory that you prepared for them before the foundation of the world. And we thank you, Lord God, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you're not coming back for some haggard church. You're not coming back for a group of people all beat up and living like the world. You're coming back for a people who know their God. That's who you're coming back for. Ones, Lord God, oh, hallelujah, it says in the scripture, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord God, hallelujah. Lord, we want to be shouting for you to return. Hallelujah. And we will. And Father God, we give you the glory and the praise for all that you're accomplishing, all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.